our Joe Bud Louse Point. This is BeelPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from East Hampton, New York. Today is Thursday, the 21st of August, 2014. On this date in 1770, Captain Cook formally claims Eastern Australia for Great Britain, naming it New South Wales. 1831, Nat Turner's slave revolt erupts in Virginia. 1858, the Lincoln-Douglas debates begin. 1863, Confederate partisans massacre the abolitionist residents of Lawrence, Kansas. 1911, the theft of the Mona Lisa is discovered. 1942, the flag of Nazi Germany is installed atop Mount Elbrus, the highest peak in the Caucasus. 1944, the start of the Dumbarton Oaks Conference, prelude to the United Nations. 1957, the Soviet Union successfully conducts a long-range test flight of the R-7 Semyorka, the first intercontinental ballistic missile. 1959, Hawaii becomes the 50th state. 1968, Nicolae Ceaușescu publicly condemns the Soviet-led Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia, encouraging the Romanian population to arm itself against possible Soviet reprisals. 1979, Alexander Gudinov defects to the United States. 1991, the coup attempt against Gorbachev collapses, and on the same day, Latvia declares a renewal of its full independence. Birthdays today are Aubrey Beardsley, Count Basie, Wilt Chamberlain, Joe Strummer, Sergey Brin, Kellys, Usain Bolt, and 15 years ago, the birth of a pair of twin geniuses who were actually born on top of Tatsminda Mountain, named Mevludi and Lamara Kortsiliashvili. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks to those posting on our forum. There was somebody going on about Carl Bildt. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story of embezzlement charges against Misha amounting to 8 million lari, on the 14th of August, the prosecutor's office said that it put Misha on a wanted list, a formality following a 2nd of August court decision ordering his pretrial detention. On the 14th of August, Misha spoke to Rustaviori TV from New York. He said putting him on the wanted list is aimed at preventing him from returning to Georgia and engaging actively in political life. He strongly denied the misspending charges and said that all the expenditures were made for the benefit of the country. The allegations about spending taxpayers' money on visits to aesthetic clinics and cosmetic procedures were utterly false. He elaborated that the money which the prosecutor's office thinks he stole was in fact spent on housing guests, keeping the presidential palace open, on tourism commercials, and promoting the non-recognition policy. For example, on the list of expenses published, there was a 33,000 lari helicopter rental in Peru. Misha explained it was used to go to Peru and urgently discuss with the newly elected president, who announced plans to recognize Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The focus was on the content of the spending, not where the money came from. On the 15th of August, Prime Minister Khadivashvili commented on the latest charges filed against Misha, saying that the time of impunity is over in Georgia. He told journalists that attempts by the UNM and Misha to justify his lavish spending are shameful. Quote, if any country, any leader thinks that those spendings were normal, then we should not be speaking about democracy. These are the statements of a typical dictator. We had a shameful president who was spending people's money, millions, on luxury, end quote, the prime minister said. On the 16th of August, the prosecutor's office published an even more extensive list of Misha's alleged spending. On Tuesday, the 19th of August, Misha returned clothes to the government of Georgia. Some of the listed personal expenses include clothing and suits purchased in the UK. Misha sent the coats and jackets to the government office with a note attached reading, I am returning them back to use on your discretion. There is a disagreement at the government office when Lana Gvingili, a spokesperson for Misha's presidential library, was not allowed by SSPS deputy head Nukri Loladze to leave the clothing at the office. The police were called. The government first wanted to return the clothing items to Misha, but they were instead temporarily sealed at the Ministry of Internal Affairs. All goes to show you that transparency is a good thing. If these expenditures had been publicly available earlier, then we wouldn't be having this mess now. Also, a complicating factor is that the informal boss of the prime minister and government in general is a billionaire and spends a whole lot of money, as can be seen from practically any point in Tbilisi on his house. but it's his money, so he's therefore held to a much lower standard, obviously, and he can spend his money how he wants rather than the public funds that Misha had. But on the other hand, you know, how much information do we have about what money public officials are spending on, you know, in the current government? Government wants to reduce the president's powers as commander-in-chief. According to the draft bill prepared by the Ministry of Defense, the president will no longer be able to approve regulations of the joint staff who chairs and manages the armed forces. Instead, the head of the joint staff will become subordinate to the defense ministry. The draft also foresees that in case of an emergency, war, or crisis, planning for national security will be the responsibility of the State Security and Crisis Management Council, which was the thing set up under the Prime Minister in 2013 in order to compete with the National Security Council. The draft was sent to Parliament in April, but is temporarily suspended, according to Gheorghe Kvirinchiladze, the president's parliamentary secretary. The president has granted the power of commander-in-chief by the Constitution, and it cannot be taken from him regardless of what is written in any law. My reading of the Constitution agrees with that, that there's not really any way that that can be changed. I mean, it could go to the Constitutional Court, and they would have to say that, but it is in the Constitution. On the 20th of August, Minister of Defense Iraklis Alassania said that the president's role as commander-in-chief will be guaranteed. As a reminder, the previous government amended the Constitution and reduced the powers of the president significantly while increasing the powers of the prime minister. Some said at the time, although I do not believe this, that Misha, who was nearing the end of his second term, was preparing to assume the post of prime minister. I think he had other plans, but it was part of the deal to weaken the presidency after he left, because it was a very strong presidency. President Margvelashvili is trying to reinstall the importance of the National Security Council. On the 19th of August, he held a meeting with several Georgian Dreams and UNM lawmakers, legal experts, as well as some Tbilisi-based Western diplomats, such as American Ambassador Dick Norlin, to discuss the role of the NSC. The authority of the NSC, which is chaired by the president, was significantly downsized this past November, and was sidelined by the Security and Crisis Management Council. When President Margvelashvili convened the first session of the NSC under his chairmanship on the 1st of August to discuss Georgia's preparations for the upcoming NATO summit, Prime Minister Khadabashvili did not attend. The time and effort spent by this government to sideline Margvelashvili truly illustrates several unhealthy things about the current leadership. That, exactly like the previous leadership, they are not comfortable with independent thinkers, even within limited independent thinking, and independent actors, even if they are if those are directly elected. They are showing contempt for their one time and for their own time and bandwidth, not to mention the institutions of government. It will be interesting to watch over the next couple of years how they feel about any of the newly directly elected mayors, if any of them deviate from strict public loyalty and subservience. Abkhazia is set to have presidential elections this coming Sunday, the 24th of August. In late May, Sukhumi authorities, led by President Alexander Yankov, were forced to resign following opposition protests that were engineered, as far as I have heard, by Russia, because they were ticked off that Yankov was too independent from Russia. Four candidates are running in the race. The leader of the Forum of the National Unity of Abkhazia, Raul Khajimba, who was one of the key figures behind the protests against Ankvab, and I think is probably Russia's choice, Aslan Bjania, former chief of Abkhazia's security service, ex-defense minister Merab Kishmaria, and Leonid Zapshba, who briefly served as the interior minister and quit in October 2011. In Sukhumi, on the 20th of August, a hand grenade exploded in the yard of the house of Batal Tabagua, who's the chairman of the Central Elections Commission of Abkhazia. Opsny Press reported no one was injured. According to the prosecutor's office in Sukhumi, the incident is being investigated under the cause of criminal code dealing with hooliganism with use of ammunition. Investigators are pursuing other lines of inquiry related to Tabagua's professional activities as CEC chairman. This will be interesting to watch this election, because Abkhazia, frankly, has a longer tradition over the last couple of decades of actually competitive presidential elections. And so now that Russia seems to have its preferred candidate and seems to be consolidating its control over Abkhazia, whether or not this is a competitive election and what its outcome will be quite important. I suspect that the Abkhaz might vote against Russia's choice, and we'll see what happens as a result, but there could be some disturbances. Following up on last week's story about President Marco Lashvili's public dispute with the prosecutor's office and releasing classified correspondence, the country's president and prime minister again openly chided each other about the incident. On the 15th of August, Prime Minister Khatabashvili commented to journalists that it took longer than needed for President Marco Lashvili to declassify a portion of the spending records of former President Misha. Marco Lashvili responded that he, as president, can deliberate on sensitive matters as long as the law allows him, and that nobody without relevant authority can rush him. Speaking from Bakudiani, Marco Lashvili stressed that while deliberating on declassifying the ex-president's spending records, he and his advisors paid close attention because it is, quote, not only an internal policy matter for our country. I hope that it's clear for everyone that the issue of Misha's prosecution has been linked to Georgia's foreign policy, end quote. As a reminder, the prosecutor's office requested that Marco Lashvili declassify certain documents related to their investigation of Misha's spending on the 12th of July, meaning they wanted to declassify it in order to justify their prosecution of that. It was a fairly unusual step, but they knew that internationally there would be some issues. They started the prosecution immediately after signing the neighborhood agreement and wanted to justify it. Documents and wanted that done quickly. Documents were declassified on the 8th of August after the prosecutor's office made the request known to the public. Nobody looks good from this. Marco Lashvili was selected personally and solely by BI to run for president. He was politically active before that, but sporadically and not publicly. He was chosen by BI because they were friends. Now, because BI doesn't like some of the things that he's done, he's turned the government away from him. The public, including the voters, are really sadly sitting on the sidelines on all of this. They don't have strong opinions about Marco Lashvili one way or the other. But it also shows who's pulling the strings here and says a great deal about how he operates. To follow up on the perception, the prescription story last week, the Ministry of Health is tightening the regulations on prescription drugs starting the 1st of September. The State Regulation Agency for Medical Activities published a list of drugs, dividing them into three categories. A doctor's prescription will be needed for the first and second categories, while drugs which fall within the third category are freely available over the counter. The new law is an initiative of the Health Minister David Sergeyenko, formerly director of the Sachkhere Medical Center, a hospital sponsored by former Prime Minister Ivanishvili, himself a native of Sachkhere. The drugs, the first category, previously required a doctor's prescription. There's outrage because the drugs in the second category are perceived as common and are widely used in Georgia. Among those drugs are painkillers, antidepressants, sedatives, antibiotics, and some cancer and heart disease drugs. Now, these, and some of them are contraceptives. These are, this law, for the most part, it's really a real step forward and is desperately needed, particularly for the antibiotics. The category encompasses more than 6,000 drugs. Also, starting on the 1st of September, some people under the age of 18 will not be able to purchase any medication. No people under the age of 18 will be able to purchase any medication, even with a prescription. On the 18th of August, President Marco Lashvili rejected former Interior Minister Kakha Targamadze's application for Georgian citizenship. The decision follows a call by UNM to not approve the application. Targamadze served under former President Edward Shevardnadze in the late 1900s, but after the Rose Revolution, he left for Russia and obtained Russian citizenship. He returned to Georgia in 2012, after the change in government. He was subject to many journalistic investigations into allegations of corruption and murder. During the time he was Interior Minister, people in the preliminary detention would fall from the roof of the Interior Ministry, upper floors of the Interior Ministry building. He was suspected of ordering murders, of appropriating state property through corrupt deals, and of controlling the business community. According to UNM, Targamadze received Georgian citizenship on the 14th of July, the day after he applied. According to Georgian law, this kind of application must be approved by the president. For those who don't know, Kakha Targamadze is not related to Gheorghe Targamadze of the Christian Democratic Party, but he is truly corrupt and a loathsome individual who did terrible things to Georgia under Shevardnadze. Whether or not that should he should be allowed to be a citizen of Georgia is another question, but he is truly a scuzzball. On the 20th of August, UNM Member of Parliament Dato Bakradze was accused of violating the law for not declaring assets worth well over half a million lari when he was serving as a public official, according to PIA.GE news agency. According to Georgian law, all public officials must indicate an asset declaration if they or their immediate family have cash value of more than 4,000 lari. It is believed at the time of declaration for the 2014 asset declaration of public office, Pakrazi had a London-based HSBC bank account which contained around 262,000 pounds or 755,000 lari. However, in the asset declaration, Bakradze declared he only had 15,000 lari and $10,000 cash. PIA.GE released a copy of the document, which outlined the July 2014 closure of Bakradze's high-interest deposit bond, which was on a three-year fixed term. The media outlet did not say how it obtained the information. Bakradze served as the chairman of parliament from June 2008 to October 2012. Chief prosecutor's office told PIA.GE it was looking into the case and would make a statement once it had more information. Sounds like it was a clear violation of the income declaration, as the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, has already indicated. At the same time, that bank in Georgia needs to look into its banking client communication security. Chairman of the CEC, Tamar Zhvania, dismissed complaints against a high-ranking cleric from the Georgian Orthodox Church. NGOs and human rights groups accused him of violating the election code when, during a sermon last month, he advised devotees how to vote in the second round of the local elections that were held on the 12th of July. In his 6th of July sermon in Holy Trinity Cathedral, Bishop Jakob, who is one of the three head deputies of the Georgian Orthodox Church, slammed the UNM opposition party. The Georgian election code prohibits election campaigns by religious organizations. Violation carries a financial penalty of 2,000 lari. The NGOs called on the CEC to study the case. In a letter to the CEC, Bishop Jakob argued that his remarks were made as an individual clergyman, not representing the church as a whole. However, Patriarch's deputies, according to the constitutional agreement between the Georgian Orthodox Church and the state, represent the church without requiring any additional authorization. According to the CEC spokesman, CEC Chair Zhvania accepted the bishop's argument. She has no right to accept his argument. It was a crystal clear violation of the law, in case anybody's interested. Like, for example, some prosecutors. Ministry of Defense launched construction of a basic combat training center for recruits in Akhalkalaki. The site hosted a Russian military base until 2007. Before that, it was a Soviet base. Defense Minister Irakli Alasania, along with Chief of the General Staff of the Armed Forces, Vakhtang Kapanadze, took part in a groundbreaking ceremony on the 14th of August. The first phase of construction, involving building of the headquarters, dining facilities, and barracks, is scheduled to be over by the end of 2015. The second, with accommodations for officers and families, by 2019. Defense ministers of Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Turkey held a meeting in Nakhichevan, Azerbaijan, on the 18th and 19th of August. They discussed security issues in the region. Azerbaijani Defense Minister Zakir Huseynov announced that Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Turkey will hold joint military exercises and trainings, including on the protection of regional gas and oil pipelines. They'll have joint seminars, conferences, in the military technical sphere. On the 14th of August, President Mark Belashvili spoke with his Estonian and Polish counterparts on the phone about the upcoming NATO summit in Wales. Estonian President Tomas Hendrik Ilves, who, by the way, is from New Brunswick, New Jersey, and used to teach at Penn, also raised the issue of Misha's prosecution. However, the president's office said the NATO summit was one of the main topics of discussion, noting that this summit should become an important step forward towards Georgia's integration into the alliance. Mark Belashvili also spoke by phone with his Latvian counterpart, Andris Berzinch, on the 18th of August about the summit. Berzinch assured that Latvia would provide support in the future, according to Latvia's president's office. He plans to visit Georgia in November. On the 20th of August, Georgi Mark Belashvili spoke by phone with Lithuania's president, Dalia Grybauskaitė, and discuss the regional security and preparations for the summit. As a reminder, in June, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen announced that Georgia would be offered a substantive package to help the country move closer to NATO, but not a membership action plan or MAP. On Sunday, the 17th of August, the Ministry of Defense signed a treaty with the Orthodox Church. The agreement was signed at Samepa Cathedral in Tbilisi by Defense Minister Irakli Alasania and Ilya II. It is about Quote, spiritual and moral principles, the strengthening of patriotism, furthering military commitment to the country, and the revival and strengthening of military and patriotic spirit, end quote. The agreement also foresees cooperation between the church and the defense ministry's various educational institutions as well. Priests will help with the psychological rehabilitation of wounded soldiers. In other words, it is a pointless PR stunt and not such a healthy one. Kurdish Yazidi refugees from Iraq arrived in Georgia last week. Community leaders from the House of Yazidis said that 15 people have already arrived and that they are expecting dozens more. Employees and volunteers from the Georgia's House of Yazidis provided help and accommodation for the arrivals. Agit Mirzoev, executive director of the House of Yazidis, said that he met with Georgian authorities in charge of handling refugees and said that they will grant them asylum and some financial support in coordination with the UN Refugee Agency. The majority of Kurds in Georgia are Yazidis, whose ancestors fled persecution in modern-day Turkey during the end of the Ottoman Empire a century ago. Prime Minister Khatabashvili is paying an official visit to Armenia from the 21st to the 22nd of August. He will meet his American counterpart, Hovik Abramyan, and President Sherid Sarkisian. It will be Khatabashvili's first visit to Armenia since becoming prime minister in November 2013. He will be accompanied by Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze, Economy Minister Gheorghe Kvitikashvili, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze, and Chairman of the Security and Crisis Management Council that competes with the president's version, Mindia Janelidze. We have preliminary information that there was another landslide in the Dariali Valley last night, just near Kazbegi. Two people are missing, one a Turkish citizen. Members of the European Parliament called on all EU member states to ratify the association agreement with Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova as soon as possible. A joint statement was issued on the 18th of August by the European Parliament's chair of the Committee on International Trade, Bernd Lang, and chair of the Committee of Foreign Relations, Elmer Brok. The statement also asks the EU's trading partners to refrain from trade arrangements with Russia that would undermine the impact of EU economic sanctions. On the 16th of August, supporters and fellow party members of former Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava gathered in front of Matrosov prison, where he is currently incarcerated in pretrial detention. They released Thai-style lanterns in the air to celebrate his 37th birthday. Three Bulgarian citizens were arrested in Batumi on the 19th of August for stealing more than 100,000 lari from debit cards and ATM machines. The scammers allegedly attached skimming devices to ATM machines, which record card information used at the ATM. Video cameras were also used to record PIN numbers. Police said the three admitted to the crime, and police investigations have been launched. The electronic music festival Kazantip began in Anaklia on the Black Sea on the 20th of August. It's set to go until the 30th. Event organizers expect more than 30,000 visitors to the festival this year, with 30% being locals. Tickets to the event, called Visa, will be free for Georgian and Ukrainian women. As a reminder, the Orthodox Church is actively against the festival happening in Georgia. On the 20th of August, conservatives and clergymen rallied outside the old parliament on Rustaveli against Kazantip. They held banners reading, "Don't preach immorality, don't turn Georgia into Sodom and Gomorrah, and protect our children from moral and physical death." One citizen, Mariam Tsiklaori, held a one-person protest against the protesters defending the festival. She called on the church instead to do their duty and focus on helping the poor. Hats off to Mariam Tsiklaori. She was confronted by rallying participants and much yelling ensued, of course. From TKMM, or the Tpilpad Kazantip Monitoring Mission, the report is the following. A foreigner was fined for weed, but just fined. The event staff detained two people for public urination. That's urination, not anything else. Food and drink for the unprepared is extremely expensive, so bring plenty to eat and some water. In general, things are going pretty smoothly and everybody's having a lot of fun. A woman allegedly tried to self-immolate in an IDP rally in Poti on the 20th of August. She poured benzene on her, gasoline on herself, but other rally participants prevented her. The woman was an IDP. She said, "We are screaming for help and knowing it, no one is paying attention." The rally was a demand for proper housing. A team of Polish researchers discovered baths built by the Roman army around 2,000 years ago in Gonio, south of Batumi. research is conducted inside the Roman fort of Apsaros, according to Dr. Radoslav Karowitz-Skiporsky, the head of the excavation. The baths are replete with mosaics ornamenting the floor, which is rare for military baths. Excavations are carried out by a team from the Institute of Archaeology and the Polish Center of Mediterranean Archaeology at the University of Warsaw, together with archaeologists from the Gonio Apsaros Museum Reserve and the Agency for Cultural and Heritage Preservation of Ajada. A Georgian theater troupe received an Excellence Award at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival on the 18th of August. The entire ensemble of the play Animal Farm by the Turmanishvili Film Actors Theater Company in Tbilisi were recipients of the Stage Award for Acting Excellence during week two of the festival. They will perform George Orwell's prominent novel adopted by director Guy Masterson throughout the second part of the festival at the George Square Theater in Edinburgh. 10 hectares of forested area burned in Tabakhmela Tsavkisi Park on the 19th of August. Head of the Tbilisi Emergency Services, Temur Giorgadze, said that the fire began in a hard-to-reach area, making it difficult to extinguish the threatening nearby populated areas. The fire was contained late in the evening. According to the health ministry, ambulances in Georgia will begin responding to calls from patients according to the severity of their cases instead of who called first. In many cases, especially in villages, ambulances arrive too late and patients die. On the 15th of August, Deputy Health Minister Zaza Sapromadze said that a large part of the available ambulances are in bad condition and often need repair almost every day. The ministry plans to buy 220 new cars. Former Imedi TV journalist Eka Tsamanashvili was summoned as a witness to the prosecutor's office on the 15th of August over the fake Imedi TV report about a Russian invasion that aired on the 13th of March 2010. The prosecutor's office did not specify the legal grounds for the summoning, saying additional information will be given to the media later. The U.S. Aegis guided missile cruiser USS Vela Gulf visited the port city of Batumi from the 18th to the 20th of August, according to the statement released by the U.S. Embassy. On the 18th of August, the Vela Gulf's visit reaffirms the United States' commitment to strengthening ties with NATO allies and partners like Georgia. And from our Malibu correspondent, San Diego State University will be opening 3 branches in Georgia in partnership with Elia State University, Tbilisi State University, and the Georgian Technical University. San Diego State will be overseeing branches concentrating on math, technology, science, and engineering. Offered through the Georgian schools will be bachelor degrees with the SDSU name on them in the following disciplines: electrical engineering, computer science, and chemistry, biochemistry. Campuses will also provide intensive education in the area of English language studies to prepare Georgian students for taking science classes in English. The project is financed mostly by a grant of $30 million from the Millennium Challenge Corporation of the United States, which is a grant, not a loan, by the way. As people remember, there was a big discussion of that and a tender under the old government. Kaja Bendukidze's free university made by far the best partnership offer, offering to put in a fair amount of money. They won, and then when the new government came in with Georgi Margvelashvili, now president, then education minister, they changed the rules and said that only public universities could participate and free university was out. But hey, San Diego State, dude. According to research published by the New England Journal of Medicine, the rate of death from cardiovascular causes associated with sodium intake above the reference level was highest throughout the whole world in Georgia, lowest in Kenya, by the way. So really, they say that it increases blood pressure. Not so clear if it increases the risk of heart attack or other associated cardiovascular illnesses, but still, that's a lot of salt. Georgian athlete won a silver medal at the Summer Youth Olympic Games in Nanjing, China on the 19th of August. It was Georgia's first medal at the Games. It was won by Tamas Kirakoshvili in the 81-kilo category of judo wrestling. And while on the sports theme, on the 17th of August, Georgia's national basketball team won against Portugal in the qualification match for the FIBA Euro Basket 2015. Georgia won 91-90. The game was played in Ovar, Portugal. The return match against Portugal will be played on the 24th of August in Tbilisi. The star in high score was Zaza Pachulia of the NBA. Before the 20th of September, it will cost 15 lari to make a new ID card at the public service hall. After the 20th of December, it will cost 34 lari. takes 10 days to process. A lot of stories going around about the difficulties foreigners are having obtaining temporary residency permits in Georgia before the 1st of September deadline. Democracy and Freedom Watch published an interview with pretty famous German film director Stefan Tolz, who's been living in Georgia off and on for 20 years. He explains some of the completely ridiculous hoops he's been jumping through to obtain residency, and he has recommendations, letters from ministers and bank statements and so on. He was still told that this is not enough for an application. One woman on Facebook explained that she and her husband went to apply with the exact same qualifications and applications. She's American, he's Iraqi. She got the residence permit, he didn't. The meme this week is an article published by the charmingly named Chiti News, which is a site for Georgian satire news about the Patriarchy and Kazantip. The site quips that the members of the clergy announce that they will come to the festival equipped with scissors to cut the skirts of the Virgin Mary as a canopy over Anaclia, proclaiming that, quote, "We will not allow the festival of debauchery to be held under the hem of the Virgin Mary," end quote. In the accompanying photo, dark clouds cover the seaside town. The joke reflects an anecdote that Georgia is under the protection of the Virgin Mary, who puts her skirts over Georgia. Stuff to read. Democracy and Freedom Watch's democracyandfreedomwatch.net's Mari Nikuradze interviews Tariel Nakaidze, one of the founders of the Union of Georgian Muslims, about the pressing need to expand prayer space beyond the Orta Jame Mosque in Batumi. While people allege that BI gave 10 million lari for the project, he says no one has seen that money and the government is avoiding the problem. An essay by Nicholas Thompson in The New Yorker about writing letters and becoming friends with an elderly Svetlana Alilujeva, otherwise known as Stalin's daughter. A new report by the IMF detailing a recently concluded program operating in Georgia and new programs in the near future notes that despite IMF support and successes, the country still has major macroeconomic problems, mainly to do with increased government spending. All these stuff to read will be on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 18. That is the percentage dropped recently in Georgia's gold reserves. According to the National Bank, gold reserve is at $2.5 billion, down from $3.05 billion 1 year ago. That's U.S. dollars. On the 29th of August at noon at the Radisson Hotel in Tbilisi, the Partnership for Road Safety, with the support of the delegation of the European Union, will conduct a one-day seminar on safe roads and transport. Participants will have an opportunity to learn about the innovative project Friendly Roads, implemented by the foundation, and about road safety situation in Georgia. This is a really cool organization, and stop by if you get the chance. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod, tblpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we'll finish with, we're sorry to have no date for this one. I looked. But on this big, big day, we have Dorival Caymmi and Marcha dos Pescadores from the original soundtrack of The Sandpit Generals.
E Yeah, dude.